Okay, I'm keeping my list of who's presenting these items.
What are you doing?
All right, folks, we are going to go ahead and get started. If we are now back on the air and recording, we are back in session. I just want to, are there any members? We had a couple members on the phone, and I want to see if they're still with us. Judge Boris?
Yes.
Kimberly Flenner?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. And has, I think that's all we had on the phone. Anybody else on the line that I didn't catch? Great, thank you. We are ahead of schedule, so we are on item number 7, court-appointed dependency counsel allegation. It is an action item, and the materials begin on page 13 of your packet. With us is Don Will, the manager for the Judicial Counsel Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. Don.
Thank you, Judge. This allocation item is related to court-appointed dependency counsel, the $103.7 million, which has been the state's base for a number of years, and the additional $11 million that was included as an addition in this year's governor's budget. In April, the Judicial Council approved a process that was recommended by this committee and that specifies how we are to allocate dependency court-appointed counsel this year. That process for this year included two steps. The first was to begin a reallocation of the existing base of $103.7 million based on historical base and workload. And so this year, we calculated 90% of a county's proportion of historical base and 10% of its proportion of need to come to its new allocation for the base of 103.7. The council also specified that any new funding should be allocated on the basis of proportion of need. So the $11 million we allocated for those courts who were whose overall base that they were receiving after the reallocation took place was still less than the median base in the state. We allocated the $11 million to those courts based on their proportion of need as calculated by the current workload funding model. And Table 1, which we passed out, shows our calculations and shows the courts who would receive the new funding. Table 2, on the reverse side, is a recalculation of what we did for this committee and then for the Judicial Council of what the overall four-year reallocation plan would look like, but including the $11 million that's now been added into the base by the governor. The report in item 7 doesn't actually include a recommendation, but the recommendation would be to approve or not approve the allocation formula that the staff executed.
So Just a clarification. So it would to be, it, the recommendation is to approve the allocation of the new money that was in the governor's budget pursuant to the methodology previously approved by the council.
And the existing 103.7 million. So table one shows both those.
I see. Chris Volker.
Don, I don't know if you can answer this. I have a question, though. Previously, we went, we were looking at table 6B, column 11, which had different numbers in the court-appointed dependency council. Do you, why? Why are there different numbers there versus this table?
I'm looking at Stephen. That's not a table that
Stephen
I had a piece of.
The amounts in table 6B reflect the non-revised tables 1 and 2. So if you look at the revised tables 1 and 2 for item 7, which were sent on Friday, and which are, the hard copies are in front of you, that those numbers have been revised. Those are the numbers that he's asking that you approve.
So get okay, so we can line out the one on 6B, right?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other thoughts? Judge Cope.
Can I move the recommendation?
Yes. So the recommendation would be to allocate the Dependency Council funding, which includes the original 103 million plus the new 11.
I'll second.
Sherry Carter, second. Is there further discussion? Alan Carlson?
And this is one time, just this year. We're silent on anything in the future. On this motion.
On this motion, yeah.
Why?
Well, the council's already approved a four-year allocation plan, but we're just doing the allocation for next year. Now, if the subcommittee works on a formula that they're currently working on a workload methodology upon which to apply the funding allocation, and if that adjusts it, then you would see that in the allocation request for next year and the year after. Exactly. So it's a one-year allocation,
yes.
But yes.
Especially since the work group's meeting. Judge Cope?
Really, all this is doing the math to apply the allocation that's been made to the formula.
Yes.
It's really nothing more than math.
Got it. Thank you.
Any further discussion on that?
I just have a technical. So the header, I see they changed it, but it says total, for example, total 100% need. Well, I think that's misleading. And it's not 100% of the need. It's based on, I think the term you were using was proportion of need, or it could be relative need, or.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it should. It's not. It would not meet 100% of the need at the current funding we have.
So
we can change that to 100% of
available
funding.
And what you had on the earlier version that we lined through, it said workload. Workload model, but I would just recommend that be changed.
Okay.
Yes.
Any further thoughts, questions, Jake?
Okay, so just clarifying that the motion is to approve the allocation as outlined on revised table one.
Yes.
That's on 116.
Of the standout?
Yes.
Yes.
Any question? Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Don. The next item on our agenda is item 8. There are not any materials for this agenda item. And it's really just my coming to you with an idea that I've discussed with Zlatko and I've discussed with Martin Hoshino, and to see if you agree that it might be worthwhile to put together an ad hoc work group to dig into this a little bit. And that is kind of in order to provide for more effective fiscal management and planning. Would it be helpful if the funds, trial court funds that revert to the trust fund pursuant to the 1% statute. So any amount that's over, if a court is over 1%, those funds revert to the trust fund. Would it be helpful if when a court has funds that revert to the trust fund, that those funds, instead of being kind of put in one big pot, be retained for the benefit of that court for a period of time to be able to draw from in the future? And let me give you an example. So it would be essentially 58 subaccounts within the trust fund. And I'll use Sacramento as an example. If Sacramento had money that reverted to the trust fund because they were over the 1%, if this group set up certain guidelines for what that money could be used for in the future that were narrowly tailored and set up guidelines that said they can be retained for a period of time, not to exceed, I'm making this up, 5 years, and not to exceed a certain dollar amount. And if Sacramento in the future said we have a need for that money and would then go before the council to request that that money be returned to them for a designated purpose that this group has already recommended, so we would develop guidelines that would go to the council, it would allow a number of things. First of all, I think for those courts that have encumbered funds for a period of 2 years, if for some reason you're not able or it doesn't make good business sense to liquidate that money and you need another year to do that, the money would stay there for that purpose. For courts that are saving for a case management system, perhaps this is a way to allow you to put money into this account for that purpose, assuming that the guidelines call for that. For courts who might be opening a new facility, if there's purchases, furniture that needs to be made, it might allow courts to do that. I've talked to Zlatko about that. I've also ran it by Martin Hoshino, and we had a very high-level conversation with the executive team over at the Department of Finance to see if they would support that or knock that down, and they are in support of us being fiscally prudent. At a statewide level, that allows for the transparency of the money going in and the money coming out. So I see a lot of faces looking at me like maybe I'm off my rocker, but I just wondered if you all thought it might be worthwhile to put together an ad hoc work group to talk about this and maybe come up with some very narrowly tailored guidelines on how this would work.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So in the discussions that you've had, one of the questions would be appropriation authority. So are they? Is that also something that's being? Because if you have one big court wanting to do it, that could blow through your appropriation authority.
And I wasn't part of the discussion, but obviously there are provisions to increase our authority at the request of the Department of Finance and Legislature. So it would be, you know, part of the consideration. But I presume that whatever it is that we would develop, it would probably be, since you've already had some preliminary discussions, you need to be a circling back of as things become more defined. That was a possibility, then obviously we'd have to you know, get their buy-off.
And maybe provisional language or something. So I just want to say I think that's a great idea, assuming we can get some technical appropriation adjustments, and I think it's a great idea.
And I will tell you that the discussions we had with the Department of Finance weren't much more detailed than what I've talked to you about here. There were some questions from them about, you know, why doesn't the 2% automation fund work for these things that we walked through with them. And I also emphasize that it doesn't mean we're giving up the fight on the 1%, but we want to be able to move forward with fiscal planning and that this might be helpful. So there wasn't a lot of detail with, and that wasn't a question that I asked or we talked about. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a non-starter for them before I came to you and Judge Smith. And I didn't see all the hands, although I see David's.
Anyway, I would too. I think it's a terrific idea. And my only question was whether it would undermine our effort to get beyond the 1%. But I, you know, that's kind of a first world problem I'd like to have, as opposed to really having no other options. The other thing that came to mind, I don't know what the criteria would be, but I imagine that courts would be sensitive to question about their judgment if they're making a business plan about you can or can't use your own money in a particular way. But I think, you know, I think you might want
to. I think it's important to understand the Department of Finance doesn't see it as your money. So that's an important distinction they'll make, that it is state money, be it in your Bank of America account or at the Chalker Trust Fund sitting with the controller and the treasurer. So that's their view, and I think the point of fiscally responsible actions are of the state's resources.
That's right.
Our language, you know.
No, I certainly understand your point, and I'm what I would say to you is it probably would just take a little bit of discussion with trial courts about kind of what they're getting themselves into or not, depending, you know, if they have money, they would want to know what kinds of things they would be permitted to do with the state's money that they generated.
And when I say narrowly tailored, I think that it would be up to this body to come up with kind of acceptable reasons to be able to set this money aside so that we do have that transparency and that courts don't have the discretion to use it for employee salary increases or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And the idea that when you ask to have the money returned to you, it's from your pot of money, not everybody else's. You get right. What you've put in back so that folks wouldn't be concerned that it'd be like the 2% emergency funding where there won't be any left for me when I need it. David.
Yeah, thank you. I strongly support this approach, and you know, since the world has changed for all of us as a result of the new restrictions on carrying forward fund balances and such, it's really stifled our ability to plan effectively for really important projects, buying furniture for new buildings that you're moving into, or even moving into a new building. These are things that can be very costly that, with the current rules, you have a very difficult time planning appropriately for. And I guess one of the things that I just wanted to point out was this is by no way, shape, or form an effort to, you know, skirt the restrictions that we have. These are real problems that we have every day, and we need to have some sort of remedy so that we're not going to be in default on some of the contracts that we've signed that perhaps have taken more than a year plus two to finish these projects. And we're seeing, many of us are seeing right now, that the recent contracts that all of us or many of us have signed on for new case management systems are taking much longer than we had expected because there are so many projects that are underway with the same vendor, and realistically it's going to just take longer than a year plus two to finish this stuff. So I strongly support your proposal.
Thank you. Sherry Carter.
I think it's a great idea. I support it. I think that I'm not sure I'd tie it to the 1%. I would tie it to fiscal management and part of spending plan, and would not recommend that it be tied to the 1% at all. The only downside that I think we have to recognize is that in a bad fiscal environment, that money could easily be swept like reserves were, but we just have to recognize that going in. But I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Rick.
I strongly support it, and all for all the reasons that have already been mentioned.
Judge Johnson.
Well, I just can't imagine ever having anything left over, but I agree with Sherry. It seems, first of all, we shouldn't give up on eliminating the 1%, and secondly, I think we should try to be looking for ways to reward courts that are living within their means and planning for the future appropriately. I'm sure the guidelines that are developed through the proposed working group would go towards that end, but I'm thinking about things that are just good management tools that we can't do at all, like sinking funds or something besides encumbrances, which we're strapped by. So I support it, and I hope that we take as broad a view toward it as we could.
Judge Slott.
So I tend to agree with the concept, and I guess I would ask that the ad hoc committee also dialogue on what perceived risks there may be, not only the potential of money being swept, but does it cut against in any fashion an argument when we are advocating for more funding in others' view, how would they perceive that? So, and I'm not saying that that's a right thought. I think it's a wrong thought, but I think that those are things that the ad hoc group, I think, should also address as well. The risk factors associated with it. It's what I'll
thank
I'll
you.
Describe it.
Mary Beth.
I did have anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Judge Good.
I'm not quite sure how to say this, but I think this is a good idea only in an irrational environment. And I think that we have to be very, very careful in what we propose here that we not buy into an irrational environment. All of the literature on government financing says that a government entity should have a reserve. We're not allowed to have a reserve of any effect right now. And this is a second or third or fourth best alternative to what we should have. And I just want to be very careful that while we do this as a survival mechanism in a bad environment, we don't give up on the larger idea, which is that every government entity is supposed to have a prudent reserve. That's what the state constitution says. And we're being deprived of that. And someday we're going to have a different Department of Finance. And we have to have this as a temporary objective only.
So then I will recommend or move that we assemble an ad hoc working group to dig a little deeper into this, to potentially come up with guidelines for how trial courts might effectively utilize a program such as this.
Second.
Judge Harmon, seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. And I would ask that if any of you are interested in serving on that ad hoc working group, just to send me an email, and hopefully we can get the group together maybe in August or September and try to get something available for trial courts for next year. Great, thank you. And then we have a period of time for an open discussion. If there's anything any of you would like to talk about, whether it's issues that have come before us before and you want an update on, whether there's issues or thoughts that you have on things that we might put on our next agenda. I do have one issue that I wanted to bring to your attention. You may remember back in, I think it was January, we did an educational session for the new members. I think it was January because we were kind of off cycle. But we did that in Sacramento. We extended the invitation to all presiding judges and also to the Judicial Council members. We would be looking to do that again sometime in the fall, because now we're in the regular cycle of advisory committees, and I just would seek your feedback and input on the type of information that we covered at that meeting, whether you thought that there was information we didn't need to cover or information we should have and we didn't. So I am seeking your feedback. If anybody has any thoughts, and if they don't come to you today, I think I would appreciate an email or a phone call so that we can appropriately prepare for the next time that we do this. And one of the thoughts I had today as we were talking about this is making sure courts understand kind of the ebbs and flow on filings, because that one of the things that we talked about, maybe we can address that more fully in explaining the WAFO model. But I didn't know if any of you had any thoughts on that and what we can do or shouldn't do. All right, if something comes up, we'd appreciate your feedback. Anyone else have anything that you want to address? All right, our next, Alan Carlson.
We get a lot of materials in here, and it's all PDFs. It would be nice, because my staff is constantly calling up LACO staff and everybody saying, can we have the original spreadsheet to look at? Could we have a kind of an agreement or a policy or whatever that says that the stuff that's in here in PDFs will be available somewhere, I don't know, Saranus or somewhere else, but as the spreadsheets, so you could do more analysis on it?
I didn't know that.
I'm looking at staff, so you can leave their hairs on fire, but I don't see a reason why.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an issue.
I mean, you produced them to produce the PDFs. Why can't they be
right.
available?
No.
Yeah. I understand. Try to get them although the size is an issue.
You can print them on your large form if you wish. I don't think there's any issues with that.
Anything else? Our next meeting will be held on August 5th. It's the day before your TCPJAC-SEAC meeting. It will be in Sacramento, and it'll be in the afternoon to allow travel time, tentatively scheduled for 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, something along those lines. Sherry Carter.
It'll be Sacramento at the Judicial Council office or in the hotel we're staying?
I believe it's going to be in the Judicial Council office, but we will confirm that.
Okay.
All right, then is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
All right, we will adjourn. Thank you, everybody.
I will. Yeah. You'll be back at work on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Same to you. Yeah, I'm just responding.
Steven, where are we
meeting?
Okay. Okay. No, I was going to have to go up to go up to my office on the 8th.
Sending your drive.
I am driving back tomorrow.
Yeah, talk about the conference.
No,
I thought we wanted to have you talk about it.
Excuse me, if you signed up to take the shuttle, to Oakland should be leaving around 2 o'clock. If you can just meet out in front, a person named Paul will pick you up. If you sign up for the San Francisco shuttle, it, right now it's leaving at 3:05. We're trying to change that to 2:05. I think there's 3 of you. And there are no bar tickets, unfortunately, so everyone will have to take a shuttle.
Let me know if there's people in the thing that I need to know about. It was really, really, really important.